Great. Well, welcome to our Duxbury for Braille Readers workshop. And I don't know. I guess I'm just taking over. I don't know, Daphne. I don't know if you want to do this or if you want me to.
Why don't you go ahead, Jen? You're not to do it.
Sorry. I just took
Yes.
over. I'm sorry.
No,
So thank you all for coming. We've already established it's a beautiful day outside, and you could have been doing all kinds of other things than be here. So we're glad you're here with us. I'm the past president of Braille Literacy Canada. I think I know most of you actually. And we have my co-presenter is Jen Gesso, who is on the board of BLC as well. And Daphne Hitchcock is our moderator and note taker extraordinaire, and she's our vice president. And we actually also have Kim Kilpatrick, who's our secretary and the CCB rep, and she's going to be doing some live tweeting for us to keep us in the social media world as we go through this. So basically what we're going to do is actually Jen Gesso is going to now I'm going to hand things over to her, and she's going to get started. And then we've kind of divided stuff up. So she's going to talk for a while and give all sorts of useful information. And then we'll stop for maybe two questions, and then we'll go on to the stuff I'm going to talk about. But we'll keep most of the questions till the end, just because Duxbury is, there's kind of a lot to it. So if we get into too many questions, it's likely that we're going to answer your question at some point anyway. So if at the end we haven't, then we will have some time to answer your questions. So that being said, I guess, so star six, oh my, star six, what am I talking about? I don't know, somebody else who knows all these commands better. Alt A on a computer, I think it's Alt. Oh, this is terrible. This is embarrassing. And we're even recording, so this is for posterity. But I believe on a PC, it's Alt A to mute and unmute. And
Do you want me to do it, Jen?
I'd love it unless,
Okay.
yes.
All right. I do it all the time, so I guess that's why. On a PC,
Forgot.
it's Alt A to mute and unmute, and it's Alt Y to raise or lower your hand. On a landline, I don't believe we have anyone on the landline, but it's star six to mute, unmute, and star nine to raise and lower. On a Mac, it's option Y, I believe, to raise hand, and Alt Command A, I think. Command A. I'm a bit rusty on those. I don't usually do that on the Mac, but and on your iDevice, the raise lower hand is in the More tab on the bottom, and the mute unmute is on the bottom left-hand corner of your main screen.
Thank you, Kim. And we're just going to ask if people can stay on mute when they're, unless you're speaking, just to kind of keep the background noise to a minimum because we're recording this. Oh, and that's the other thing, just to be aware, if you do speak, just so you know, we're recording this so that people who couldn't attend can hear me try desperately to explain the Zoom commands to all of you. With that, I'm going to mute myself and hand things over to Jen so she can introduce herself and talk about all things Duxbury.
Thank you, Jen. So my name is Jen Gesso, and as Jen Golden mentioned, I am a director on the board of BLC, and I have been a Duxbury user for about 15 years now. And so I'm just going to start this presentation talking about how to install it and set it up, and then going through some of the basic screen reader and Braille display features that you can use with it. This workshop is focused on Windows primarily, but there is a version of Duxbury for Mac, and I did find some information on the Duxbury website about how to install it and set it up with VoiceOver. So we are going to send out a resource document after this workshop, and that link to that resource is included in the resource guide just in case you are a Mac user. I have never used it on Mac, though, so I can't speak to how well it works or what features might be available. But on Windows, I'm going to cover setting it up with JAWS as well as setting it up with NVDA. Whichever screen reader you're using, there will also be information in our resource guide about setting it up with that screen reader. So with JAWS, it's fairly straightforward. When you install Duxbury, it will ask if you want to install some JAWS scripts.
Myra Rodriguez.
Join the meeting.
And those scripts are really important to install because they basically are what give JAWS all of the features that it has in when using Duxbury. There was somebody at the very beginning who was asking about Perky Duck, and I will say that JAWS does work with Perky Duck, but I find it doesn't have quite the same support. So for example, when you're moving through the document in Duxbury, you can choose how you want JAWS to speak each line, whether it's translated or whether it's spoken as Braille signs. And in Perky Duck, I believe you can only have it announced as Braille signs. So there are a few differences depending on if you're using the full version of Duxbury, which is what this workshop is focused on, or if you're using Perky Duck, which is sort of a six key entry only program designed for students who are learning Braille. If you are using NVDA, there is no add-on or scripts available that I'm aware of to support Duxbury. One of the nice things about NVDA, though, is that these things may be developed in the future, so fingers crossed. But in the meantime, you do have to configure NVDA so that it works well when you're using Duxbury. And probably the easiest way to do this in NVDA is by setting up an application-specific configuration file. So this is a file with certain NVDA settings that you've configured the way that you want, that you can tie to Duxbury so that whenever Duxbury is launched or whenever you press Alt-Tab to set focus to Duxbury, NVDA will automatically switch to those settings that you've configured. And so the settings probably that are most, the one that's most important is turning off NVDA's Braille translation, because if you have NVDA translating your Braille display and you have Duxbury also translating, it just ends up as gibberish that makes no sense. And so if you are using Braille files in particular in Duxbury, you do want to set NVDA to computer Braille. And that will make sure that the Braille on your Braille display actually displays properly. One unfortunate thing is that it will also mean that all of the menus and dialog boxes and other areas, including print files within Duxbury, will all be displayed in computer Braille. There is, I don't think, a way to tell NVDA to only use computer Braille when in a Braille file and to contract it in other areas of Duxbury. So that's one limitation of this setting. Other things you might want to set up are configuring NVDA so that you have speech on or off. So NVDA JAWS, when you're using JAWS with Duxbury, it supports reading of the Braille files really well. So you can use your arrow keys or navigation keys to move through those files and JAWS will read it very nicely. NVDA does not have that support. So as you're moving through a file with speech, you're going to just get basically Braille ASCII spoken. So for example, it will say the THE contraction as an exclamation point, just as an example. And all of the different Braille signs have corresponding ASCII characters, which is what will be announced. So sometimes if you want to turn speech off and just use Braille with Duxbury, that is something you also might want to configure and save to a configuration file. And we have all of these steps in detail on how to change these settings and how to save it as a configuration file in NVDA in the resource document that we will be sending out. It's too long to go through every single step in this guide. So once you have your screen reader set up and Duxbury installed, and also I should mention that this workshop is also assuming that you have already set up your Braille display with your screen reader. So if you have a screen reader and a brand new Braille display just out of the box, that is something you will have to set up prior to doing any of what we're talking about here. Because it's your screen reader, of course, that sends the communication about what is happening on your computer to your Braille display. But what, once you have Duxbury installed and any scripts that you need installed and any configuration that is needed installed, there are some ways, particularly if you're using JAWS, to get help if you are just starting out and learning how to use Duxbury. And so for JAWS, one of the most useful commands if you're just getting started is as soon as you launch Duxbury, it will actually announce that you can get a list of JAWS hotkeys by pressing Insert plus H. And if you do this, you get a very detailed list of basically every command available in JAWS within Duxbury. In JAWS, it'll come up in the virtual viewer, and then you can use your navigation keys to read. And in, one of the nice things too is that each command is a link. So if you want to learn more about what that command does, you can press enter and you can read more about, I don't know if it works on every single command, but for a lot of them, it will come up with additional information about specifically what that command does. So you can learn not only the command, you can learn what it does. And also the JAWS has built-in help, and also Duxbury has built-in help. So as Jen was mentioning, Duxbury is a really detailed program, as is JAWS. And so if you want to, you can go into either of their help systems and read more about a particular topic that you're learning about. And in our resource guide, we have detailed instructions on how to navigate the help system in both JAWS and Duxbury. They're both the same. And so it uses the same commands to navigate. The next section I have here is on using a Braille display with Duxbury. And let me just read my notes for a moment here. So one of the things that you can do in Duxbury Braille files is that you can do Braille entry. And Jen is going to speak a little bit more about this, but I'm just going to address it in the sense of using a Braille display. So of course, a lot of Braille displays have six key Perkins style keyboards on them that you can use to enter text in any area of Windows. So if you're, you know, searching for something online, or if you're, you know, sending an email, you can just type in Braille. And just like the Braille output, your screen reader, when you type in Braille, is translating that back into print for Windows. But if you are entering six key entry on Duxbury into a Braille file in particular, you don't want your screen reader to be translating that. And so it is important to go in and configure the Braille display so that it is either translating or not translating and coming out properly as you're typing. I also find too in Duxbury that it seems a bit contradictory, but you have to turn six key entry off to have the Braille display work, in my experience. I'm not sure if that is intentional or not, because it seems a bit opposite of what you would want to do. But that is something I have found that I have to do, is to go in and just uncheck the six key entry in Duxbury. And we have the steps on how to do that in our guide as well. The other thing that you want, and this is more specific to NVDA, is you want to tether your Braille cursor to your system focus. So in NVDA, you have your system focus, and then you have a review cursor. And you can tether the Braille cursor to either of those. And the reason why you want the system focus is basically your cursor within your file. And you need that to be tethered to your Braille, because when you hit the bottom of a page and you press, you know, the next button or the down arrow, you want that to go to the next line within that page. And if you have your Braille settings tethered to focus, what will happen is you'll just end up with your Braille focused on the status bar at the bottom of the screen in Duxbury rather than scrolling the page. So that is another setting that you want to go and change if you are an NVDA user. If you're a JAWS user, the scripts take care of that. You don't need to do anything. Really, with JAWS, it's pretty automatic. If you install the scripts, everything for the most part is configured so that it will work well. And Jen is going to talk a little bit more about the user interface in Duxbury in a little while. When you're navigating through either print or Braille files with a screen reader. Most of the commands are the same. So if you want to navigate by letter, you would use the left and right arrow. If you want to go by word, you would use control left arrow or control right arrow. And same with line. If you want up or down by line, you would use the up and down arrow. Navigating up and down by paragraph sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. It depends on what codes are used to create that new paragraph. And so if it's just created by, hitting enter twice and leaving a blank line, then it works fine. But if it uses some of the built-in Duxbury codes or styles, it doesn't always work navigating by paragraph. And other ways of navigating through Duxbury files are that you can jump to a specific page or line or column number, or all three if you have a very specific place you want to jump to. And you do that through the go-to dialog, which is you can get to by pressing Control plus G. And a dialog box will pop up with edit fields where you can enter in that information. And one of the nice features is that if you are working in a file that has both print and Braille page numbers, you can pick whether you want to jump to the reference page, so the print page, or the Braille page. And that is just a checkbox within that dialog that you would check or uncheck. And then, as I mentioned earlier, there are a whole list of JAWS commands. We can, if people want, we can go into some detail if there's any questions about specific JAWS features. But you will access those with JAWS plus H. And there's a whole bunch of options within there. So as I mentioned earlier when talking about PerkyDuck, for example, you can toggle how you want JAWS to announce the Braille as you're moving through a file, whether you want it to basically read the translated line or read the Braille signs. So that is a specific command, and you can toggle that on or off. And JAWS also has a quick settings area. This is something that JAWS has for a lot of different programs, and Duxbury is one of them. And to get to that, you would press your insert or caps lock, depending on which key you have as your JAWS key. You would press either of those keys plus V, and that's going to bring up your quick settings. And in this area, you can, it has some settings that are specific to Duxbury, and then it has some that are just more general to JAWS. But regardless, all of them are saved basically to a Duxbury configuration file so that they only affect Duxbury. And so within that area, you can toggle some of these choices, and then they will stay toggled on or off depending on what you have picked. So if you want, for example, JAWS to always announce translated lines as you're navigating, you could go into quick settings and toggle that on, and then it will stay toggled on always unless you toggle it off again. Whereas with the JAWS hotkey, it's just sort of a temporary toggle. And I'm actually not sure if it remembers that setting when you exit out and go back into Duxbury. So that is actually the end of my material, unless people have any questions. And as I mentioned, there is a lot more detail in the guide that we are sending out.
Daphne, do we have any raised hands?
I'm just looking there. And awesome. Yes, Peg has her hand up. Peg, if you want to unmute yourself, that would be
great. Just a quick question. Oh,
hi, Peg.
Oh, hi there. I'm just curious whether anyone knows if Duxbury works with Narrator at this point. I don't use Narrator.
Peg, I tried this actually because I wondered the same thing since I was covering JAWS and NVDA, and I did not find it worked. It basically it read nothing within the Braille or print. Okay. So you could access the menus, but in terms of the actual file, it was just no speech whatsoever.
And does Narrator work with a Braille display?
Narrator does have Braille support. Actually, it has, it's not as good as something like JAWS, but it does have pretty decent Braille support. Microsoft has really improved on Narrator over the past few years.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Great. Thanks, Peg. And Kim's got her hand up as well.
Well, it was Peg read my mind because I was going to ask the exact same question. So thanks for that. I have tried Narrator with a Braille display and it worked okay. It used to need different drivers. So it sort of messed up when you went back to another screen reader, but I don't know if that's changed now or not.
I had that same experience, Kim, which is why I haven't played around with it too much.
And we have one more question from Bruce. And then I think we'll take Bruce's question and then go to Jen G. So thanks, Bruce.
As of JAWS 2021, there are scripts for Duxbury built into JAWS. Which ones would be more current?
So when I wrote this document, I have JAWS 2021. So I would have been using the built-in scripts to JAWS.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Jen. So if you have a question that comes out of this and you want to just save that, and after Jen has finished her part of her presentation, we'll go back to some questions. Thanks so much, Jen Jessel, for taking us this leg. Okay, Jen, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jen. We were talking at the beginning about how we were both sort of like, you know, nobody uses Duxbury exactly the same way. I was actually going to say this later in my talk, but a lot of people who learn to use Duxbury, you know, we attend a workshop here and there, but for the most part, we kind of teach ourselves. And then, you know, we go to Duxbury or, you know, when we have questions or we look things up online. And so I find that whenever I do attend some, you know, a Duxbury related workshop, I always end up learning something because I learn, you know, from somebody else's experience. And so I knew I'd learn stuff from Jen and I totally did. So as she said, we're going to get some notes out to you at some point next week so that you'll have a little bit more detail. So that being said, I'm just going to jump right in. I have, unlike Jen, I haven't been using Duxbury for 15 years. I think I've been using it for maybe 8 years. So anyway, what I'm going to do is I have certain things that I'm going to go through. There ends up being a lot of, or not a lot, but a fair amount of overlap. So there'll be things that I will touch on that Jen's already covered. So I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to cover it again. But for example, when we do the overview of the menu, Jen has kind of referenced some stuff that are in the menus and things that are in the menus, and she's talked about how to get there. So I'm going to focus on things that we haven't actually talked about yet. So that being said, I'm going to start by talking about how to enter text into a Duxbury file. And again, this is something that Jen, she has talked about. So I'm going to take a little bit of a different angle. When you're creating a Duxbury file, there are different ways that you can get your content in. So one way is to import something like a Word file or even a TXT file. And when I go through the menus, I'm going to talk about this a little more, but basically you've got your pre-existing content that you just pull into Duxbury and there you go, you've got your text and then you can translate it and you can do some formatting and whatever you need to do. The other thing that you can do is open Duxbury and start a new file and start a print file, a DXP file. And when you do that, then you're just going to type on your, you know, on your keyboard. You can also type on your Braille display and if your Braille display allows for that. And so you can kind of enter text in the way you'd enter it in any other document. And then the other aspect, which Jen has talked about, is six key entry, where you either turn six key entry off in the menu and use your Braille display, or you turn it on and you use the letters of your keyboard, as Jen talked about, FDS, JKL. And I'll just say about six key entry that if you are either a Braille reader, well, I mean, I think everybody on this call is either a Braille reader or quite comfortable with Braille, but this is something that in the DXB, the Duxbury Braille file, I do this a lot. I do a lot of manual, you know, I format stuff that's already there. I import files, but when I need to change something or there's like just a sign that didn't quite come out right, which Duxbury is quite good. So this doesn't usually happen, but I do a lot of manual, a lot of six key entry, because as a Braille reader, it's very easy for me to do it that way. Sometimes other people are more comfortable doing it in the print file and then translating it. So that's just, that's one reason why this is an option, because sometimes it allows you to fix things that are a little bit more complicated to fix any other way. So again, now I think this kind of leads us into talking about the different views and the user interface. I think what I'm going to do is maybe not go into it too much into too much detail, because when I go through the menus, I think it'll be a little easier to do that. One thing to note about six key entry is that when you are, say, when you're searching for things, you can also use it. But let's say you're in your Duxbury file using 6-key entry, and then you have to save your file because you haven't saved it yet and you need to enter the file name, then you don't use 6-key entry. You just type as if you're like you're using a QWERTY keyboard and you're typing in print. So you just kind of have to, I do it every once in a while. I go to type something and I just get this mass of letters. I'm like, oh yeah, I can't use 6-key entry here. So you just kind of keep an eye on sort of on what you're doing. So that being said, I'll just quickly explain what we mean by the user interface. And Jen talked about this already. She talked about coded, you know, codes and styles and coded view. So there's different views that you can have open depending on what you're doing. And I think when I go through the menu, I'm going to get to the view menu, and that's where the different views that you can choose from, that's kind of where they are. So we'll come back to that a bit, but it's just helpful to look at codes and styles, because then you can see what's going on behind the scenes. Just to give you a really quick example, I was working on a file one time and I was trying to get rid of a blank line that there was an extra blank line that wasn't needed, and I was trying to get rid of it. I'm backspacing and it's not going away. And when I switched into coded view, there was a code. I don't remember whether it was the list style that automatically has a blank line built into it, or it was like an extra line, a line code to put in a skip line. And once I could see that the code was there, I could put my cursor after the code and backspace and get rid of it. But sometimes when you're in just the regular Duxbury view, you see what it looks like, but you don't see why it looks the way it does. And so that's why the codes and styles can be really helpful. So I'm just going to take a quick look at my notes here to make sure I don't forget anything. So Alt F3 toggles it. I think, Jen, I think you mentioned that as well. I should have made notes of some of the things you said so I don't repeat myself, repeat ourselves. But you can toggle the view on and off. And one thing that comes up in the menus is that there's... some of the different views are you can view the print font. So you can, you know, and again, this view is sort of more helpful for sighted people. They may want to look at the actual print letters. It's definitely when you're in a print file, this is sort of what you want to do. When your other options are Braille and SimBraille. And if you are, These views will allow you to either see like graphical dots, or you can also see the ASCII Braille. So like the example Jen gave where the THE sign is an exclamation mark. So you can choose, Duxbury gives you a lot of flexibility to choose how you want to be able to see, how you want to, you know, have the content presented to you. I think what I'm going to do, at this point in my notes, I'm going to sort of go through an overview of the menus, but I think I'm just actually going to, before I do that, I'm going to talk a little bit about codes and styles, and then we'll go back to the menu. So Jen and I were talking earlier, and you know, we're sort of thinking like we could do an entire session just on codes and styles and templates, because there's really a lot that you can do. For anyone who's familiar with word styles, it's kind of like that in Duxbury, but Duxbury really lets you get in and do all kinds of things with styles according to Braille formatting rules. So So what I want to do is just give a bit more of an overview before we go into the menus on how they work and some things that you might want to kind of keep in mind. So the best way to think of codes and style, so a code is going to do one thing. So I mentioned line codes. A code, an example of a code might be to just add an extra line. It'll just put your, you know, it'll add another line. It'll put you on the next line. A style is basically a bunch of codes all together that will work all at once to kind of set up a certain formatting. So a good example is, you know, I said that I use the example of a line code for a code. Now let's think about the list style, right? We all know that in Braille, there's, you know, we have paragraphs that are sort of indented and then they run over to the left margin. And we have lists where each item starts in the margin and kind of wraps to cell three. So when you apply the list style in Duxbury, it's doing a number of things. It's inserting a blank line before and after the list. It's causing the text, it's causing each list item to start at the left margin, and it's causing the runovers to be in cell three. So right there, that's kind of three things that this style is doing. So you've got codes, and then you've got a style, which is a bunch of codes, and then you've got a template, which is a bunch of styles. So if any of you have ever used Duxbury before, you know that when you open it, you have to choose your template. So part of choosing your template, it means, you know, you're going to pick your language. What Braille code are you using? Is it going to be contracted or uncontracted? And then in each template, there's a whole bunch of styles that you have access to so that you can control what the output looks like. So when you're looking in coded view, which is what it's called when you do Alt F3 and then you can see all the codes, one thing that you'll notice is that codes are in square brackets and styles are in less than and greater than symbols. So you can kind of, if you're not sure whether something's a code or a style, you can tell even just by that. So for example, an H1 is a style because it's going to center your text. It's going to make sure there's a blank line before and after it. So it's got a couple of different codes in it that will make it look like a centered heading. So, and each of these things will have a beginning and an end. So you'll have, let's say, for example, the list style, the actual style is L-list. And so you'll have L-list and then you'll have all your actual list content. And at the end of the list, it will say in less than and greater than symbols /L-list. And I apologize if this sounds a little overwhelming. I don't feel like you have to memorize this. I just want to let you know what you're going to see if you start looking at a file with coded view on. And so one thing that you have to bear in mind is that there's the begin style and end style that kind of says, okay, everything between these two things is going to be according to this format. If you, with your cursor, get rid of the end style, it's going to automatically get rid of the begin style as well. So that formatting will go away. So you just have to kind of be careful when you're getting rid of things that if you delete the beginning or the end, it's going to automatically delete the other one for you. So I thought I would just give an example or two of when I use coded view and find it very helpful. If I'm setting page numbers, I sometimes, if I have to, if I'm transcribing a document and I have to set the T pages, right, the front matter transcriber pages, and then you do that, and then you have to, when the body of the document starts and you have to get rid of the T and just have regular page numbers, there's a code that will do that, but it has to be in a very specific spot on the page. It has to be pretty much the first code on the page or else it will get sucked into another style. Like I've done this before. I've tried to put the code in and found out that it was in the middle of the H1 and it's within that style. So Duxbury doesn't see it. So it doesn't do it. And I didn't know that. And it took me a lot of frustration to figure that out. So in coded view, you can actually see where your heading style starts. So you can put your cursor in the right place so that you can enter this code. So, and one thing I think I probably should have said earlier is that when you're entering codes and styles, I'll show you how to do this on the menu. You can just go in and do it. You don't have to memorize them all, but you can enter them manually. If there's some that you do a lot, that you do often, sometimes it's easier just to know it and to go in and enter it instead of going to the menu and finding it. It gives you the option. And the last thing that I'll say about codes and styles, well, the last two things actually, is that when you're applying styles, even if you're just, you're going to go to the menu and I'll show you in a moment, it's important to remember all of the things that the style does. And again, I'm going to use the list example because sometimes you might be doing something where you want to have your text start at the left margin and wrap to cell three, right? You want that indent to happen, but you, for whatever reason, let's see, I'll do it the reverse way. So let's say that it is kind of a list format, right? It starts at cell one, it wraps to cell three. And so there are style options in Duxbury that don't have names, they're numbered. So they're like 1-1, 1-3, 1-5. And what it means is starts in cell one, wraps to cell one, starts in cell one, wraps to cell three, et cetera, et cetera. So that you can pretty much force any kind of formatting. So let's say you have your list and you decide you're going to use the 1-3 style to make it look right. Well, that's great and it will do it. But what it won't do is insert the blank line that goes before a list and after a list, because that's not part of that style, right? You need the list style, which will format your Braille correctly, and it will also include the blank lines. And so I say this just to illustrate the fact that when you're using styles, just remember that part of what makes them a style is that they do more than one thing. And so you need to kind of think about what you really want it to do before you apply that style. And a lot of it's trial and error. Like I certainly didn't memorize all this stuff or learn. I just kind of learn it by doing. And I suspect for most of you that's how, that I don't want to speak for Jen, but I suspect that's how it was for her. And I suspect that's how it'd be for most of you as well. You can also add styles to your template. You can create new ones. You can modify existing ones. That's kind of where Jen and I were going down the path of, you know, we could do a whole separate session on styles because it gets pretty, because it can get pretty, not complicated, but pretty detailed. So that being said, I'm going to go through the menus now. And some of the things we'll already have talked about. There we go. I was trying to pull up the menu so I could look at it and it wasn't coming. So one of the things about the Duxbury menu is that if you're familiar with Word, with Microsoft Word, it's very similar in a lot of ways. It's kind of, if you're comfortable with that menu, and if you're not comfortable with it, don't be alarmed, because you know it is fairly intuitive, and the more you play with it, you'll get used to it. So there's the file menu, which kind of like in Word, it has, you know, news, you can create a new file, you can open existing files, you can save as. This is one of the things where you would go if you wanted to keep your file but change the name and have like a, you know, if you want to make a few changes to the file and you want to change the name, or you can save. That's where you go if you want to save a BRF file, Braille ready file, so that you can look at, so you can read it on, you know, on a note taker, for example. So this is, you know, there's print, there's emboss. This is where you can translate a file. So if you're in a print file, you can do Control T, or you can go to this menu and you can translate your file. It will also let you, it can also let you back translate. But this is one thing I discovered about the back translate feature, is that if you're in a Braille file and you try to do Control T, Duxbury is going to go, hello, you already translated this file. So you're going to translate something that's already translated. But if you go to the file menu and click on translate, it will actually go back to a print file. So if you want to do that, that's how you do it. Going to the edit menu, Jen talked about a number of things on this menu already, so I'm not really going to touch on this. The only thing that I wanted to mention is the insert file option. This is a really cool option. If, let's say, you are transcribing a file and you have to add in like a title page and a special symbols page. And let's say you've already got one that you created for a different file and you sort of want to pull that in and then maybe make any changes that need to be made instead of doing it from scratch. You can insert it in here. So you click on insert file and it'll give you like a dialog box where you can go and select the Duxbury file that you want to insert. So you can do this with print files and you can do it with Braille files, but it has to be the same. So if you're in a Duxbury print file, you have to insert a print file. If you're in a Duxbury Braille file, you have to insert a Braille file. And if you are in a Duxbury Braille file and you decide you want to just copy and paste another file in without using this option, you can do it, but you have to open another window within the Duxbury window you're already in. So like you would do Control O and open it. You can't kind of go to Duxbury again and open it separately and copy paste it. It won't, unless that's changed in 12.5. I haven't done it in a long time because it never works. So I always just do insert file. So again, this is something you can kind of play with and see how it works. If you do need to search for codes and styles, you have to be in coded view and I think we've got this in the guide. If we don't, we'll add it, but you would hit F9 or Alt F9, depending on whether you're looking for a code and a style, and you can enter the text of this, whatever the style is, like L-list. The problem, you have to also insert the symbols that go around the style. So again, I apologize, this is getting a bit technical, but I mentioned earlier that styles are kind of within less than and greater than symbols. You have to insert those into the find box. And you kind of have to, I always forget the order of how this works, but I think you would do Control F, like find, and then you hit F9 and it actually puts the symbols there for you. And then you type it in. This is, I apologize again, this is a little complex and it would be easier to kind of demonstrate it. But maybe if Jen and I do the codes and styles workshop, we can go in more detail. But I would just encourage you to, if you own Duxbury, just play with it and you'll get to kind of see how it works. So to keep us moving along, we're going to go to the view menu. And again, Word also has a view menu. And this is the one that will change, give you the different views that are possible. And I find that a lot of these views are a little bit more beneficial for sighted people that are using Duxbury, because you can click on the full page view, which it will make the font smaller, but it will show you an entire page of text, so you can kind of see the formatting. For Braille readers using a display, we're seeing one line at a time and we're scrolling anyway, so it doesn't really make a difference for us. Here's where, you know, we talked about print font, Braille font, or Sim Braille. So if you want to view ASCII Braille or graphical dots, if you choose Sim Braille, then it will be the graphical dots, but there'll be the shadow dots where the entire cell kind of has the shadow dots. It's again, easier for people who are looking at this visually, which is why I always kind of mix up which one does which. But this is where you would go to click on 6-key entry. This is where you would go if you didn't want to memorize the toggle to activate coded view. You can go here and click on it. So that's basically, Jen also talked about translated line. That's in this, in the view menu. And now I'm going to go to the layout tab in the menu. And this has all kinds of fun stuff in here. So this has a code list. So you, in the layout menu, you just would hit enter on code list. And then it's got all kinds of things like accented characters, line codes. There's a code where you can skip lines. There's codes where you can force things, words to stay together, where you can force them apart. There's different symbols like the pound sign and the euro, and there's all kinds of things in here. I definitely don't have these all memorized. Again, some trial and error. In the help menu that Jen talked about, Duxbury does provide a code list quick reference. I think it's on their website as well. There's also on this menu, you can apply style. So when you go in this menu and you click on apply style, in the template that I'm using, the BANA UEB, English UEB BANA or whatever it's called, there are 131 styles that I can choose from, everything from the formatting ones I talked about, like 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, et cetera. There's an acronym, one that you can apply that basically will uncontract an acronym. There are styles that will force text to uncontract if for whatever reason you need that. There's text if you're transcribing an English document, but there's some French words and you want it to use French accents instead of UEB accents, you can go in here and you can type the first letter of the style, like French, F for French, and it will take you there. There's all the heading and list styles. Again, I learned by trial and error. There were some styles that, you know, H1 heading centered. Well, that was kind of obvious that it was an H1 centered heading, right? But some of them, I don't know what they do. So I just would try it in a document and see what happened. So there's all kinds of things there. And there are different ways to get to that menu too. You can go to the menu the way I just did. You can also do, I think F8 takes you to the styles list. You can just choose the one you want. Another thing, and there's a lot of things in this layout menu. You can apply the last style if you don't want to have to go searching for it again. So you want to apply the same style that you just did. There are a number of other sort of more, a little bit more complicated things. You can change the style level, and not all styles, this isn't relevant to all styles, but for example, the list style, if you're doing the list style and then you realize that you've got a multi-level list and you need to change the indent, you can hit style level plus, or let's say you put too many levels in your list. You're like, oh, this is the wrong, I've made this, you know, this list has too many levels in it. It should only have one sub item instead of two or whatever. You can go to list, what's it called here? Style level minus. You can also combine styles. You can combine lines. You can do all kinds of things that I don't want to get too convoluted because you don't really have anything in front of you that you can kind of follow along. But it allows you a lot of flexibility to work with the formatting of your document. You can change the translation. So in the sense that if you're working in a contracted document, you can force uncontraction. Like I said, there's different ways of doing that. There's character and line codes, margins. You can set the margins. You can set runovers. There's math codes that you can enter, page codes. So you can force a new braille page, force a new print page. You can vertically center your content. You can basically, this whole menu, the layout menu, it's really what it sounds like. It's page layout. You can set running header, you know, headers and footers. You can generate a table of contents. This is a really great, if you're doing a document of any length, even documents that you're translating from Word and that they already had a content table of contents in the print one, you can kind of get rid of it and just generate one in Braille. And you can tell Duxbury that you want it to create the contents using Braille page numbers or print page numbers, whichever you choose. And it does a really good job and it's super fast. It's you just have to do it when you're done the document. Otherwise you can end up changing, you know, you'll create the table of contents and it'll say, it'll have, you know, a certain heading, let's say on page 7, and then you go and you do a whole bunch of changes to your document and then your heading's on page 8, but your table of contents still says it's on page 7. So it's really one of the last things you want to do. You can insert tactile graphics. All kinds of fun things. And then there's a table menu, which allows you to either create a table or if you've imported a table, let's say from Word, it'll let you change the way Duxbury sets it up. Because Duxbury, when you import a table from Word, let's say you have a Word document and it's got a table in it. When you pull that file into Duxbury, Duxbury is going to go, oh, look, a table. Okay, I'm going to format it like this. And sometimes it's right and it does a really good job. And other times it looks kind of a little bit of a mess. And so you have to go in and choose. And there's different table types that you can do, like listed tables and linear tables. Those of you who are a little bit more familiar with, sort of official Braille formats, maybe more familiar with different table types. But again, I would recommend just if you're transcribing something, try your table different ways and see what it looks like. Because sometimes you don't really know until you actually do it what's going to be the best option. So that's what this menu does. Duxbury, just like other programs, allows you to make changes that will apply only in the document that you're in. And then it also allows you to make global changes. And some of the same settings are in both. So for example, embosser setup. In Duxbury's document menu, you can set up an embosser if you want to change something just in this document, if you want to change any printer settings, any page number settings, there's a bunch of things that you can change. The only thing I'm going to focus on, and that's the same for the global menu as well. If you want to actually set up an embosser from scratch, like you've never used an embosser with Duxbury, then you have to go to the global menu and set it up and you add your embosser and Duxbury walks you through the process, right? You select your embosser, you select your version, you configure specific things. Some of them are specific to the embosser, which is why I'm not going into this in a lot of detail because it will depend on your embosser. But if you just go through the menu, Duxbury kind of walks you through and tells you what it needs. You need to decide whether, you know, you're printing double-sided, which is interpoint. One thing before I forget about this though, is that before you configure your embosser in Duxbury, you need to set it up you need to add it in your Windows settings, or if you're using a Mac, kind of the same thing I think applies. I just bought a Mac recently, but I haven't set up my embosser with it. But on a PC, you have to go kind of into your control panel and, you know, add printers and devices and add your embosser there before you can add it in Duxbury. And then, you know, so you will need to learn about your specific embosser, but this is where you would set it up in your global on the global menu in Duxbury, you go into embosser settings. But on the document menu, that's where you're going to go when you go into embosser setup. It's going to let you choose the paper size. So let's say you normally use 11.5 by 11 paper, but in this particular document, you want to use a smaller paper size. You'll go into the document and you'll change, you know, the line length. And maybe you change the margin or whatever. There might be other things that you need to change, but it's just going to be for that document. So you've got document, you know, specific things to that document. And Duxbury usually warns you. If you try to change something that it thinks you might have meant to change in the global settings, it's going to tell you, you know what, this is only going to be effective in this document. So let's move to the global menu. I've already kind of mentioned that this is where you can configure, you can actually set up your embosser. This is also where you can decide how Duxbury wants to import files. I've already talked a few times about importing Word files. Basically, in Duxbury, you hit Control O or you go to the file menu and hit open, and then you can, you know, go through the files on your system and choose a Word file and open it in Duxbury, and it'll open a Duxbury print file, and then you can translate it to Braille. And if it's been properly formatted in Word, it will actually turn out quite well. Duxbury and Word can play pretty nicely together. But in the global menu, there are different options for how you import Word files. So basically, and I'm not going to go into too much detail, but you can tell Duxbury what you want it to do with page breaks in Word, what you want it to do with hyperlinks, what you want it to do with, say, text that's bolded or underlined. You can tell it either to keep that or you can tell it to ignore it. So there's a bunch of things that you can decide how you want Duxbury to handle the information it gets from Word. There's also the formatted Braille importer, which this is if you have a BRF file, right? That I'm sure most of you are familiar with a BRF file, but it's basically a text file that has ASCII Braille. And it's, if you, you know, use it on, say, your note taker, you'll have, you know, contracted Braille if that's how it's been done. You can import that into Duxbury, and you can either tell Duxbury, look, don't do anything to this file, okay? Just import it and keep everything the same. Or you can tell Duxbury, you know what, here's where the page numbers are. There's running headers on the odd pages. So take that into account. You can tell Duxbury how you want it to process that that file. And I kind of love this. Duxbury still has a WordPerfect importer, which I just think is great. So you can also set up a printer. There's autosave, Duxbury autosaves. It'll, if Duxbury crashes on you, it will save your files. There's internationalization. This kind of allows you to set different, you can change the interface, like the menu that I'm going through right now. I have mine set to English, but you can actually have a French menu or a Spanish menu or whatever languages Duxbury supports. And Duxbury actually, especially in terms of the kind of Braille it produces, there's something like 130 languages and they're adding to it all the time. So that's one of the reasons why Duxbury is so prevalent around the world, is because it can do so many different languages. In this menu, you can also, if you're cited and you want to choose the font size that your print files appear in, you can set your fonts. You can, and Jen's talked about a lot of these things, so I'm not going to go into the detail about the view preferences and different things you can do, but you can really, you can go into this global menu and configure how you want to view Duxbury, what you want your default settings to be. You can also, and I forgot to say this in the document menu, but this is where you would, you can create templates of your own. And again, that things like creating templates, I would recommend become comfortable with codes and styles before you kind of get into doing more of that stuff, but definitely play with it. And, you know, cause that's really the best way you learn, just going through the menu. And actually Jen talked about the help menu. So I'm not going to go into that, but I would just say, if you're not sure what something in the menu does, go into the help part of the menu and click on there's a section called the menus, and it'll tell you what every single thing in the menu, the stuff that I went through, the stuff I skipped, everything. You can go through that and it'll give you a really good idea of what each thing does. So I guess the last thing that I'm going to talk a little bit about is, and I might ask Jen to jump in too, in case she's done this more than I have, but using Duxbury, using Swift with Word and the Duxbury add-in with Word, again, we don't really have, you could do an entire workshop on this, I think. And I've been at conferences where they have done entire workshops on this, but basically what we want to, because this is kind of an overview, we want to let you know what's out there and what your options are. And so one of the things you can do is in Word, if you have Duxbury on your system and you're running, I think you need like at least Word 2007, it might be later now, but you can download, you can have an add-in, a plugin in Word that's basically a Duxbury tab on your menu, and it allows you to do all kinds of things. It allows you apply a whole bunch of Duxbury styles in your Word file. So normally in Word, right, if you're just using MS Word, you can create headings, like you can create an H1, an H2, and Duxbury will understand that, and it will produce it, it will transcribe it properly. So those are sort of Word styles, right? You can do a bunch of things. But if you have this add-in, you can actually do things like enter a transcriber's note style in your Word file. You can do things like, I don't know, you're entering something and let's say you want to format it in, you know, you want to format it in 5.7, even though it's not a transcriber's note. You don't want to use the transcriber's note style because you don't want the transcriber's note symbols. You just want the 7.5 formatting, right? You can format it that way. You can do all kinds of things within the Word file. And then when you go to Duxbury, you pretty much just proof your work and make sure it did what it was supposed to do. And then I guess I do know of transcribers who pretty much do all of the transcription in Word. This is how they do it. They use the Duxbury add-ins and all this kind of thing in Word. They do everything there and then they just put it in Duxbury and, you know, kind of look through it. And then it goes to a proofreader. So this kind of goes back to my comment about how everybody uses it differently. I would say for me, just to give you an example, and, you know, Jen, I'd love to you know, I'd love to know sort of your perspective on how you do it. But I tend to do things like if there's a table and it's kind of a mess, I'll fix that in Word because I find it a bit easier to do. But for the most part, I like to work in Duxbury, and I actually really like to work in the Braille file because then I'm looking at it the way it's going to, the way the output is going to be for me. I don't know if that's just because I'm a Braille reader. Probably it is. So that's something that you, that's something that you can do if you're doing transcription, whether you're doing it kind of professionally or whether you just want to be able to create your own documents. You can decide how much of it, how much of the work you want to do in Word, how much of it you want to do in the Duxbury print file, how much you want to do in the Duxbury in the Braille file. There are some things that you have to do in the print file if you want to, say, apply the French language style in the midst of an English document. You have to do it in the print file because sometimes there are certain styles that won't work in Braille because you're totally changing the Braille output. The formatting styles will work in Braille, but sometimes code changes like language will only work in the print file. So you just kind of need to do a bit of trial and error and just kind of be mindful of that. I think I'm going to stop there. I know I kind of threw a lot of information at you. Jen, is there anything that you want to add that I totally forgot to say or that came to mind?
Yeah, one thing I do want to add. So you're right. There's sort of the three ways of working with files. You can work with in Word, you can work in Duxbury Print View, or Duxbury Braille View. I tend to work in Duxbury Print View with codes turned on all the time. but one thing I did want to say is that in the Duxbury, I can't remember which menu it's under, but there is a place in the menus where you can, if you have styles that you insert all the time or codes, you can tie those to a keyboard command. So I think by default, for example, a new page is Control and Enter. But you can actually go in if you wanted to change that to something else. And I think there's four or five or six different keyboard commands that you can tie to style. So if you're using a style all the time, you don't always have to go in through the menus to insert it.
And see, I'm not sure I knew that. Thank you, Jen.
And I wanted to, and in terms of Swift, I think one of the advantages of working in Word is that they let you tie commands to absolutely everything. So you could go through that entire customized ribbon that Duxbury inserts in there, and you could tie a keyboard command to every single style in there if you wanted to. And so the main advantage of that is if you're already super familiar with Word and you know all the keyboard commands, I think in some cases you can do things a lot faster. But you do have to proofread because it's not always perfect when it imports. So,
and that's actually the final thing I'm going to say is that one of the things about Duxbury that I like, it's really, really good with the code. Like there's certain words and, you know, anybody who does a lot of work in Duxbury will know there's certain things it doesn't quite get right. And there's certain, you know, there's manual intervention that's required, but it actually does a really, really good job with, you know, importing the text and getting the proper Braille output. It does a really good job with formatting too, but if your Word file, like if your input file has a lot of problems, your output file in Duxbury may have a lot of problems. So I refer to tables, right? If you have all kinds of merged cells, Duxbury does not like merged cells and columns and things. So that's when I was talking about a table being a mess and going into Word. I actually find it a lot easier to fix, to clean up tables in Word than I do in Duxbury. Okay. Jen, was there?
Stephanie here.
Over you.
Say, Jen, thank you for all this detailed information. It's fantastic. We're looking for questions. If people have questions to either the gents, I see Diana has her hand raised. Why don't you go ahead? And after Diana is Myra and then Peg and Deborah.
It's Diana. And a couple of things I discovered this summer for and mostly I use my Braille keyboard all the time. But for anybody that wants to use a computer keyboard and use the SDF-JKL, there's been a long-standing issue that newer keyboards often don't work properly. And so everybody runs around and looks for the old ones that are in their basements or wherever. But the other thing I discovered by contacting Duxbury this summer is that if you go into the global menu, into the view menu and preferences, there's a way you can change those keys to your bottom row of keys. And I know at least two people that were doing this made it work. And for both of them, those keyboards worked by changing those keys. So if anybody is using a keyboard and having trouble with it, that's something to try.
That's awesome. Oh, sorry.
Wow.
Didn't mean to cut you off. Thank you. I did not know that. And the other thing, actually, you brought up something that I should have mentioned, because when you open Duxbury, if you just open Duxbury but don't open a file, when you pull up the menu there, it's going to let you, it's all sorts of global settings. So what Diana was just talking about going into the view menu, like view in the global menu, that's what she's talking about, not within a document. She's talking about just open Duxbury and then go to the view menu without opening a document.
Yeah, that's true. And I neglected to make that clear.
Oh, that's
the other
fine.
Thing
so
is,
did
I. I use some styles, but I don't use a lot of them because I am old enough and have used Duxbury long enough that I hand crank a lot of things using line styles and things that I'm probably not supposed to, but the format works. So I would love a styles workshop to get into it. Like I use lists and headings, but anything complex I haven't really played around with. So I'm all for that.
Great. Well, thank you for that feedback. And thank you for that tip about the keyboard. Who did you say was next?
Myra's got her hand raised there. Thanks, Myra. You want to unmute yourself? Myra, we just need you to unmute. So Myra, while you're unmuting, let's jump to Paige, and then Deborah, and then Paige, go ahead, please.
Hi. Just a quick question about the styles you were mentioning earlier about manually inputting a style, like the code, the style symbols at the beginning, and then doing your text, and then somehow closing it. For me, I'm just wondering if it's safer to select your text that you want to have in the style and then go into the styles menu and find the style that it would apply to. Because I'm just wondering, in doing it manually, you have to be sure to close it, right? I guess you would arrow to the right of where you want to close your style. Or yeah.
Yeah, so the way it works is that regardless of how it is, I find it easier to do what you suggested. I just go to the menu. I rarely ever, like some styles, and this is, I won't go into too much detail because I want to leave time for more questions, but some styles, you just have to have your cursor wherever you want it to be. And then you can apply the style. Other things, you have to highlight the text so Duxbury knows which text needs to be in the style, right? Either way, you put your cursor in the right place or you highlight the text, and you do that by just the same way you would highlight text in, right? Shift and arrows and stuff. And then you either can go to the style menu and choose the one you want, or you could, by entering it manually, I mean, like you would hit the command that pulls up the dialog box, enter your text, and then you tab and click OK. So it's, the reason I think your suggestion is better is more that then you don't have to memorize what you have to type in for heading one cell centered. You have to, like, it's very specific what you have to enter. So it's usually easier just to go to the menu.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Myra, I see you're ready to go with your question.
Yes. I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Yes, we can hear you.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was muted before chatting away. First of all, thanks a lot. This workshop has just been fabulous. One quick question. I have a new computer keyboard, and it hasn't been working with DuckSprain. Now I probably know why and what to do. But the materials that are coming out for, regarding today's presentation, could we get them in Braille or not?
I was going to suggest that. I thought, hey, this is a DuckSprain presentation. I'm willing to do that. Or, I mean, Jen, if you want to do it, that's fine with me.
No, I would really appreciate that. And I'm happy to pay whatever has to be paid for that. But
it's going to be free.
I learn from Braille. I don't learn from other ways.
Yeah, no, I was going to create. Myra, are you okay with an electronic Braille file? Or do you want hard copy?
I want hard copy.
Okay, we'll talk. Can you email the info list? I want to be careful that I don't get us into something that we can't do, but can you, if you think of it, and I'll try to remember to follow up.
I was just thinking, whatever you're sending out in print, if we could have that put in print.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I need.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yes, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Great. Bye now.
Good.
Bye, Myra.
Thanks, Myra. Now we have Deborah and Maurice. So, Deborah, why don't you go ahead? You're muted. You need to unmute, Deborah. Just try unmuting, Deborah. And while you're working that, Maurice, why don't you go ahead? You're unmuted. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's weird. I'm sorry. My Zoom doesn't, for some reason, say that we used to get a message that said that our hand was raised, but I don't get a message anymore. So.
Oh, I see your hand. So there you are. Yay.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. Oh, okay. So my question is for Jen G. So you said that language is, if you need to like have a file, if you have a document like with English and French in it, you need to change that in Word. Will it change automatically in DuckSprain? Because I know like I just contract the stuff manually if I have to.
That's an interesting one. I usually do it in DuckSprain, but I'm pretty sure that if you if you're in your Word file and you have a bilingual document and you highlight the French style and in Word you change the language, which you can do, then when you go into DuckSprain, the one thing you have to do, and I forget where the setting is, but I think it's in the Word importer, you have to tell it to recognize different languages.
Oh.
Like you have to basically say, I forget the wording, but it's something like recognize language change or something. It's an obvious, whatever the words are, it's very, like when you see it, you'll know it. And I just can't remember off the top of my
head. So the Word importer, so what is that? So is it like, because I mean, I just import the files like automatically. I don't really usually use the Word importer. Like, what is it?
So the Word importer, what you're doing is totally correct. It's just in DuckSprain. If you go into the global menu and you want to, this is one of those things like what Diana talked about, where you open DuckSprain, you don't open a file, you just hit Alt to go to the menu. Go in the global option and go, there's formatted Braille importer, there's Word, there's import options. Now, like they've changed the arrangement of it a bit, but there's a Word importer and you click on that and that's where it gives you all kinds of choices on how you want DuckSprain to process the information that it gets from Word.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay.
So you have a lot of control over what it,
okay. And my other question too, and I mean, maybe you don't know this, but I have like 12.4 right now and I want to update to whatever, like it's the latest version. Do we have to go through a Canadian vendor? Or can we go through DuckSprain directly?
You can go to DuckSprain directly.
Okay. Okay. And would it be better, do you think? Because I know, like, I've spoken to a guy at HumanWare, and it's taking forever for him to respond. So, like, I'm thinking I'm just going to DuckSprain directly and saying,
DuckSprain is very quick. I don't want to comment. Like,
Yeah.
But I will say that DuckSprain is very...
This is very quick. Okay. So I guess you just give them your serial number, and then I guess they will update it for you.
Yeah, or? They set you up. It's you just call them. We're going to include contact information to Duxbury, but it's yeah, you call them. It's very straightforward. They get you set up.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Hello. Hello.
Okay. And Deborah, go
Hi
ahead,
there.
Please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, my silly parrot is making a lot of noise in the background there. I just have a little, one silly question. Do you need a Braille printer to have Duxbury?
No.
You don't? Oh.
No, okay. Just if you want to emboss hard copy, then you need a Braille embosser. But if you just want to create electronic files and read them on a Braille display or send them to somebody else.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. I wouldn't mind my, the notes that you, you have here on the, recording in electronic Braille as well.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. We can definitely do that.
Okay. That's great. That's the only question I had there.
Great question. Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now I see Diana, it's your hand's been raised again.
Yeah, I did raise it again. And I was going to say for the person, maybe it was Bruce who asked about the updated JAWS script file. I noticed if you wanted to use JAWS without speech prior to the most recent script file, and I do this sometimes if I'm just working on with my Braille display and I don't want it to natter at me, it would automatically turn my speech on. And with the most recent JAWS, it doesn't turn it on. It leaves them. It leaves the speech off.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Yeah. Now, are there any other hands? I know, Bruce, you had your hand up a while ago. It's been lowered now, but if there's anybody else who has a question to our Jens?
I actually put up my hand because I figured I should follow that. I don't know if it works because I have my speech turned off.
Yes.
I have a question, obviously not for myself, for Jen J. I was wondering, because you read large print as well, are there things in Duxbury that you find helpful as from that perspective?
Yeah,
I know this is about Braille, but
there are some options in the view menu. So I use Duxbury with mostly JAWS and Braille. But I do often run screen magnification at the same time. And so with screen magnification, when you're zoomed in, you can only see, at least at the level of zoom that I use, a very small portion of the screen at a time. And so it's really hard to stay oriented in terms of, like, am I at the top of the page or the bottom of the page? And so Duxbury has a feature in the view menu. It's under, I think it's under the view preferences menu, where you can turn on line numbers. And this actually works with speech as well. And when line numbers are turned on, it will announce what line number you're on as you're arrowing through the document. And it also displays them on either side of the page. So that is one feature I do find really useful. I will say the latest version of Duxbury, I don't have 12.5, I have 12.4. And I do find it's really bad quality with magnification, like with Zoom text, everything is all pixelated and doesn't look good. And I haven't actually contacted tech support to see, you know, how to sort that out. But there's definitely been a change in the last version or two of Duxbury where large print and magnification do not work very well with it. So I don't know if that's just settings that need to be changed or whether it's a problem with Zoom text on their end. And you can also change, I think, Jen, you mentioned this, but you can change the text size as well. So if you need a larger font or if you find the font that's used in print Duxbury Files, which is, I think it's like Courier, or it's like one of these like monospace kind of thin fonts. If you find that hard to read, you can go in and change it to, you know, Verdana or Arial or something that's a little bit easier for people with low vision.
Oh, great.
I will say too, another feature I do find useful in Zoom Text actually is Zoom Text has this is kind of off topic maybe, but Zoom Text has a feature called a freeze view where you can have basically two areas of the screen in view at once. And in the past, I have set the freeze view to the translated line so that I'm able to see the Braille document and the translated line on the screen at the same time without having to scroll all around. But that has its limitations because it only shows the beginning of the line. So that's why I tend to just use Braille, because the magnification just shows too little content at a time, basically.
Okay, thanks, Jen. Betty has her hand up, then Kim, and then Maurice, and Peg. So cool. Sorry, Jen, did you have anything else that kind of cut you off?
No, okay. That was it. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so thanks, Betty. Go ahead.
Sure. I just wanted to mention that if you want to create something in SimBraille, which is dots on paper for print users to see, let's say you were going to a school and you wanted to create a Braille alphabet, I believe you can do that in Duxbury too. They have a SimBraille font that you can change it to. If you're, I think it's in a DXP document, and then you print it out. And that can sometimes be, you know, useful if you're wanting to create something in Braille, or even like secret messages or something. Have I got that right? Is that how you do it in Duxbury? You change the font to SimBraille in a DXP document, and then you can print it, and will it come out as Braille dots?
Sorry, Jen.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I have not done it with a DXP file, but I believe I have printed a DXB file on a printer, and it just prints out as just SimBraille. Yeah, the whole page will just be SimBraille. But one thing, you do have to enlarge the font, because if you're using the default SimBraille font, it comes out kind of small. So if you want it to be actually the same size as a Braille, I think you have to set it to 24 font for it to be the same size.
And okay. Another thing you can – oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, Jen, that is very helpful when it's double spaced too.
Oh, good idea. Yeah.
For sighted people reading SimBraille, because they're not used to it.
I was just going to say that another thing you can do is if you create a file in Duxbury, save it as a BRF, put it in Word. If you have SimBraille fonts downloaded, you can then change your font to like Braille 29 or whatever you're using. And then you save it as a PDF, and then you've got, I've done that sometimes for people who are doing signage and they need a PDF and they need it to be the right scale. Then you can do it that way.
I also wanted to mention that when you're setting Duxbury up and you're setting up an embosser, it can be a fairly complex process. So it's a good idea to get some help to set it up, because you have to set it up with a generic text-only printer is what they used to call it. And I forget now, they call it something different in Windows 10. Somebody, Diana, might remember, but that is a bit of a challenge when setting up a Braille embosser so that it works. It's not just as easy as selecting the embosser from the global menu and you're good to go, unless they've changed that in 12.5. I only am using 12.4 at the moment.
No, I think it's still the same in 12.5, but that when I was talking earlier about how before you set it up in Duxbury, you have to go like into your PC and add printers and devices. It's you have to do that first.
Right.
This is Diana. And I was also going to say that sometimes with the newer embossers, you don't have to set up the text-only printer. It really depends on the embosser.
Okay. Yeah. So it's just the older embossers.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm mindful of the time. It's 25 after the hour, and we have Kim, Maurice, and Peg. So, Kim, if you want to unmute yourself. And
Well, this may be too long a question for this workshop, but I just wonder, in the day and age of when Braille displays that we have are able to read quite well many different document formats now, Word and other things, what are the benefits to using Duxbury with a Braille? Like, when would you use it as opposed to just slapping in a document like a Word doc or text doc into your Braille display?
So I would love to hear what Jen thinks as well. I use it when I really want the formatting to be good Braille formatting, when I don't want to just leave my, you know, iPhone and Braille display to do its thing, or for really like math, higher level math, you really need, if you really want to make sure it's precise, like there's just certain kinds of documents. So I don't know, Jen, what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I'm the same. I use it when I really need to make sure that it has good formatting. And also some of the Braille displays out there, like I have a Focus 14 Blue, and that does not support any kind of Braille translation. So if I have a file that I want to put on there, I would use Duxbury to translate it first into a BRF, and then I would stick it on the Braille display. And I think some of the others, like the Orbitz, and I think there's a few others that don't have any built-in translation.
Thanks. I've used Braille Blaster. Like, I've just used Braille Blaster for that, but I just wondered, like, what might
there be? That's another one. I actually was wondering if we should mention it, but,
but yeah, and yeah, I think
Braille Blaster is an option as well for, and it's free, it's open source.
And I find it easy to use. And thankfully, I heard a workshop that BLC did on it a few years ago, I think.
It's good. Okay, Maurice, have you? Thank you. Go ahead.
Just another update question again. So I have 12.4. Is 12.5 that different?
Jen, you have 12.4. Okay.
I have 12.4.
Okay, I have 12.5, and they fixed some bugs, I think. They've also rearranged a few things in the menu. I keep forgetting to go. There's like a what's new in 12.5. And actually, even if you don't have 12.5, you can go to Duxbury's website and read about what changes there are in 12.5 and decide whether it's worth it to you to upgrade or wait for bigger and better things.
Okay. Because I know, like, and I know, again, for updates, because I, you know, like JAWS, if you don't update like within a certain time, your license expires and then you have to pay the full price, right?
You have a certain number of, I believe when you purchase Duxbury, they'll do like releases, right? So they'll do like 12.4. And then, so if you have 12.4, you're entitled to the releases. And then when it goes up to 12.5, so like 12.5 SR1, I'll be able to download for free. But when they go to 12.6, I'll have to. Mm-hmm.
And what's the price again? Like just out of curiosity, I mean, you may not know this. Like
I think like 600 American.
Okay.
To buy it new.
It new.
Okay, but if you already have like 12.4, you can go in and ask them for the I guess if you give them your serial number, your serial number,
they'll tell you what you're eligible for. It's really it really depends on your license.
Okay. Well, it's better probably to go.
It's better to just call them
and just say, hey, like, what's up, and then perfect.
Okay, and thanks, Maurice. And Peg, go ahead, and then Bruce, and then I think we're good.
Oh, hi there. I'll be quick because it's just a sidebar thing. I was very interested, Jen Golden, what your comment about Word Perfect, which I know nobody uses.
But I can't believe it's still in there.
If Word Perfect is used, I keep getting advertisements from Corel about it, and I haven't actually put it on my system for years. But is it still, I mean, has anybody used it at all, or?
I haven't seen anyone use it in ages. I don't know about anybody else, but
okay. I was just curious about
maybe
about
in other parts of the world there are people. You never know. Duxbury is left it in there for a reason. So,
oh, that's good. Yeah, well,
I assume.
I just googled it, and there is WordPerfect 2021. So people do obviously still use it. But yeah, I don't know anyone who's using WordPerfect.
Yeah. Okay.
I love WordPerfect. Anyway, that's another story.
Me too.
So thanks, Peg. And Bruce,
Just the on the subject of why use Dexbury, one of the other reasons I think is that JAWS and the Orbit and most other devices these days use LibLui, which is, of course, a free Braille translator. And in some cases, you get what you pay for. Dexbury is the gold standard when it comes to transcription and translation. And so if you want a good transcription, your better bet is with Dexbury, in my personal opinion.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, seeing no more raised hands, thank you, Jen and Jen, for this such thorough presentation. Awesome. So much material covered. For those of you that participated, the handout will be coming your way when it's just give a few updates. And there will be a transcript also of this meeting as well. So we'll let you know when that's available on our website. So thank you both. And thank you, everyone, everybody, for attending.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
We can email info at BLC if we want a hard copy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to figure out how that's going to work. Yeah. Sure. But if you have any questions at all, you can definitely email that address.
Okay.
Also, I did want to say on the information that we're going to send out, we are going to include information about a Dexbury mailing list. And so if you do have other questions about Dexbury or how to use JAWS with Dexbury, there are quite a few JAWS users on that list. So that is a good place to go and ask.
Yeah, good list. Yeah.
Questions.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Daphne.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay.